This week's episode is brought to you by murder, because it's almost Halloween.
Oh, boy.
Wait, Kevin, who's that standing behind you?
Wait, what?
What? Oh, my God. Oh, God! Is the best way to start a podcast.
Is there another way? You tell me.
Let's just say that our comedic talents don't go beyond fart noises.
Yeah. Are they supposed to?
Not on this podcast. Hello.
Not on my watch.
Hello. Welcome to the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I am your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
Well, hello.
He's a zombie. He came back. Exactly. This week, we're going to be talking about a free concert I went to last week. We're recording
a
late.
Froncet.
I worked over 60 hours this week, so I'm a little tired, and I did not get to record at all last week. But it's still coming out before Halloween, because this is a spoopy episode.
Spoopy!
So after I talk about the concert, we're going to talk about the best murder ballads, which Kevin has talked about many times on this podcast, of how good old murder ballads are great songs to listen to.
Yeah, so. I just feel like if you're going to write a song, why not kill somebody?
Yeah, make it about murder. Shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Dead.
That's actually not even one of the songs, because it's not really a murder ballad. It's just kind of a point he makes.
It's just talking about how one time, let me tell you.
Yeah. But first, yeah, so, God, what was it? 2 weeks ago now, probably damn near 2 weeks ago, I saw Mo Pitney in Yorkville,
yeah.
Illinois, because he, if you don't know, is from Rockford, so he was,
Rockford is in northern Illinois as well, for those who have no idea where Rockford is.
Yeah, so it's a local show-ish pretty much for him. It's less than an hour away from his hometown. So actually a bunch of his family was there, I could tell, because, well, one, his dad looks like him, so I was like, that's definitely his dad.
Looks then, exactly like him. Yeah, that's probably him.
And then his, I'm guessing it was his wife and kid, because there was a woman holding a baby, and I was like, this is a 21 and over concert, and there's an infant here, so I'm gonna guess it's his daughter, or son, or daughter? Daughter, I believe.
Child.
But Luke Pitney was not there, and it made me sad. He commented on when I posted that picture of, like, what is this mysterious instrument on Instagram or whatever. he commented, he's like, that's, what's his name, like, the best steel player around. And I was just, I replied to him, I was like, I was going to bother Mo after the show about you, but I forgot. Well, because once the show got over, you know, he's kind of standing by where the merch table was, and he was just meeting people. Because, I mean, it was a small bar, so it's not that difficult to, you know, get in line and talk to him after the show. But it was late, and I had work the next day, and I was like, I don't feel like bothering him and be like, my name's Steve, and I run a country podcast, and we talk about you sometimes. So I was just like, I'm just going to go home. So I went home. But, so I got a notification on, like, one of the very few times I went on Facebook. It was like, Mo Pitney added an event around you, and it was like playing Pinheads in Yorkville. I was just like, oh shit, that's right by where I used to work. So I looked it up, and it was free admission. I was just like, well, yeah, I'm not gonna not go to this concert.
Yeah, that's the part that's crazy. Is, I mean, I realize, you know, he's not a huge name or whatever, but just the fact that
he's
played
the Opry how many times?
Yeah, it's like a free concert. It's like, damn. I mean, like, a lot of the shows that I go to around here at the Raccoon Motel that are, you know, smaller artists, like, they're still like $10, which is not bad at all, and I'll do it all day. But
The funniest thing, I don't remember if I told you this, but, oh yeah, I did. I definitely did. I was texting you. But before the show, they just had US 99.5 playing because they're the sponsor of the show. And so it's all this just shitty fucking music that I've never heard before, but it's just shitty pop music. And then he steps on stage, and like the guy who's like one of the hosts of one of the, you know, the shows, whatever, is like, oh, US 99 is proud to support the Mo Pitney who's playing the Opry, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, you guys are proud to introduce this guy that you will never play on your radio station.
Yeah, like, he'll never make it onto the radio station, and you don't actually, like, even care. You're just there, and you're trying to promote your radio station. You don't really give a fuck about him.
It's just, like, I'm pretty sure when we saw Cody Johnson at Joe's, I'm pretty sure it was, like, a 98.3, like, or 99.5 or 95.5 like concert. Yeah. It was presented by them, and it's just like, you guys don't play them. Like, why are you advertising these guys that you don't play?
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Yeah, but so he goes on stage. There's no opener. He just, at 8 o'clock, steps on stage, and he plays, obviously, a bunch of his songs, and then he played some Merle Haggard songs. He played King of the Road. He played, like, all these awesome classic country songs on top of his song. And then, of course, as I tweeted out, he played It's Just a Dog, which I just was crying into my beer at the bar, and, you know, it's whatever. but... Yeah, it's the groundbreaking thing, not groundbreaking, just the difference about this concert is this the first concert I ever went to by myself. I've never been to a concert by myself. Yeah, I was that weird guy who was drinking a beer in the back by himself. But, like, I go to movies by myself because I just think it's, you're sitting in a dark room watching a movie. You don't really need people to there with you.
A Star is Born is actually the first movie that I've seen by myself.
Oh, did you go to that by yourself?
Yeah, because I wasn't sure... You know, because, you know, I think we recorded that on a Wednesday. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to, like, make time, like, try to invite people to make it work. So the show time I went to was, like, 8:40 on a Monday night or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to make sure that I got there and saw it before we wanted to record.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I find it just relaxing. Go watch a movie by yourself. You're sitting in the theater just paying attention to the movie. You don't have to really be bothered by anyone and stuff. Like, I go to movies by myself all the time. I don't care. But, yeah, concerts are a little more social, so that was a little weirder to be at by myself. Just like, I mean, I was enjoying the music. I was singing along to Mo. But that concerts are definitely one that it's better to go with people.
Yeah.
But not to discourage people if, like, someone comes to town you don't have one to go to just to not go because no one's going with.
Yeah, I would say absolutely
it's definitely
go
a better
it.
Social thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the movies thing makes sense. You know, I think the reason I don't ever go to see movies alone, though, is just because I'm like, I know that I'm probably going to be able to, like, watch this movie later, like, because I rent a lot of movies now, like, from Amazon, and I'm like, well, if I'm going to pay for a movie, I can just watch it at home, so, like, I'm fine waiting for them to clear theaters.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
But I get watching movies by yourself.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, especially with me, I remember the first one I think I saw by myself was, like, the first Avengers movie, and it was because that came out, what, 2012, so we were still at Augie. And everything. And I remember I went, like, the day it came out, I went, like, 11 a.m. on a Friday. I didn't know when people had class or anything. So I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to try and corral people to go see this. I'm just going to go. So I went and saw it by myself. And I was just like, yeah, there wasn't anything wrong with that. And it was a big enough movie that when I got to school, I was talking to people who had already seen it. And so I was able to talk to people about the movie. So I was like, yeah, I've seen a movie. But, yeah, definitely if, like... With this, my dad was going to go with me, but he went up to Hayward. Obviously, you went up to Hayward, too. And so you guys were all up in Hayward, which is fine. So, like, he couldn't go. And then I wasn't seeing the girl I'm talking to now yet. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to not... Like, it's a free show 15 minutes from my house. I'm not going to miss out on a guy I've wanted to see for years.
Exactly.
Just because I don't have someone to go with.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I would say there's probably a bunch of artists that I would be like, I don't really feel like going if it was by myself. But then there's definitely a bunch of artists that if they were playing a show here, like, and no one could go, I'd definitely
like,
go.
I'm sure if Childers came to town and no one could go, you wouldn't be like, well, I guess I'll just see him next time.
Yeah, no,
like,
exactly. I would 100% go.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, it was an awesome show. He played just straight, you know, he's obviously a super traditional country artist, so he played just amazing songs.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got a great voice. I bet it's amazing live.
Him singing Merle Haggard songs is so natural because they both have like that deep like twangy voice, and it came out so perfectly. And he played I Met Merle Haggard today, or whatever that song's called.
Yep.
And it was funny, he told the story about it, and what it was that he was coming through some show, and someone he knew like worked there, so he was able to get him backstage, and he went up to him, and he's just like, it's like, oh, this is my friend Mo Pitney, and Merle Haggard just was like, pleasure to meet you, Mo. And then he walked away and he never talked to him again. And so he's like, oh my God, that was amazing. So him and his friend just wrote the song as a joke of like a funny song. Like, I met Merle Haggard today. And it was just a pleasure to meet you, Mo. And so like the story of the song is like exactly that. He just met him for like 30 seconds. And it was just, but it was like the greatest thing ever. I was like, that's so funny. And then, oh, he played songs from his new album that he's saying he's hoping is coming out like soonish.
Nice. And
holy crap, they were good. I wish I could remember the name of one of them. It was like, it was something about heaven and hell. I can't remember what it was called exactly, but it was like one of those like slower, like really awesome country ballads. And I cannot wait for that song to come out. And if he's listening, please tell me what the fuck that song was called. I don't remember, but it was so good. But yeah, so it was a great show. And if you have a chance to see Mo Pitney, I suggest all of you go see Mo Pitney.
Word.
Yeah, so this week, I guess we can just hop into the topic, because unless you had something else to chat about. Some stuff has gone on, but we're kind of making the cutoff date for shit we're talking about Thursday, because we're supposed to record them. But as I said, I worked, I think, 14 hours that day, 13 or 14 hours that day, so there was no way in hell we were recording on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then I worked till 9 on Friday, and then Saturday, Kevin had to go to the concert, and I worked again, so it just did not work out.
So everyone who's listening to this, you've seen us post on Twitter and shit about the albums that came out and all that shit. So, yeah. We know we're just going to do that the next one so that we stay on our normal routine.
Yeah. And who knows, if you come back to this episode later, you won't be like, well, this one came out on Monday. Why is it different? Yeah. We're pretending it's Thursday right now. So the Bears, I don't know. I hope they beat the Jets on Sunday.
I don't know. I got a really good feeling.
I bet $1,000 on the Jets, so let's see how that pans out.
Exactly, and I have definitely not currently watching this Rams-Packer game out of the corner of my eye. It's definitely not happening. Not at all.
But yeah, so this week, we actually talked about this, God, months ago. We were, because there have been, if you are a regular listener of the podcast, you've heard
First
us
of all,
talk
thank
about
you.
Like, yeah, that's still amazing. We had our third episode go over 1,000 plays today, and that was amazing to see. But, so whenever we do like our top 10 lists, occasionally we'll get to a song and Kevin will be like, I love this, it's a good old fashioned murder ballad. And so we're like, let's just do an episode about murder ballads. And then I was like, well, obviously we should do it at Halloween, because it just makes sense to do it then. So we wanted to do that, dedicate this week's episode to the top 10 murder ballads. I love these songs too, because it's like when we interviewed Jamie Lynn Wilson, she talked about, she's like, well, this album, it's not me being introspective. It's, you know, telling stories rather than it just being like my thoughts kind of thing. And I love murder ballads for that, because it's like, they tell the story of something that happened.
Yes.
Sometimes it is like I did this, but obviously it's not true, because these contracts aren't out there murdering people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly how I feel about, you know, I love it when artists, you know, sing songs about their life or things that they're thinking. You know, obviously I love all of that, but there is a certain, you know, huge chunk of, you know, country music especially that is just, you know, songs that are stories, like you said. And so the murder ballad element, I feel like it always adds an interesting piece, because murder is such an obviously, like, you know, crazy topic to sing about, so it just makes it that much more powerful, and it makes it interesting, and everyone loves a good, you know, people fucking go crazy for, you know, the documentaries about murder, so obviously songs about murder are gonna be good too.
And podcasts, I listen to a lot of them about murder.
Exactly, so it's a popular topic, and so I think it's great, especially when they're well done. Like, you couldn't just come out and sing a song about, like, I killed this guy, the end. Like, okay. But all the ones that we're gonna talk about are great. I love them.
Yeah, so before we get into the top 10, there's one honorable mention I wanted to mention. Just one, because it didn't make the top 10, because it's actually Kevin's top 10, because some of the songs on here were ones I had too that I had thought of off the top of my head, but I just didn't have time to go through all my music and find all the songs about murder, because, as I said, I was very busy at work.
And I like murder.
the end of the month is incredibly busy for me at work, so I couldn't get through and make a list myself. But the one song I did like, it came out recently. It's not a country song because, as we said, David Nail left country with his newest album. But he had a song called The Gun. But I don't blame you for tonight. It wasn't you I was looking for. Wrong place I picked the fight. Instead of walking out that door, I guess it was bound to come. I just happened to have a gun. I just happened to have a gun. This song is so fucking awesome. Like, it's so, like, haunting.
I was just saying, that word might be used a lot today.
Yeah. And it's because it's, like, this so, it's just kind of a guy who's having a bad day, and he picks a fight with just someone who comes his way, and he just goes, well, it's not his fault. He didn't know I had a gun. They're like, all right, yeah. I just happen to have a gun. And it's just this awesome story about just kind of a bad day leading to this terrible crime. And I wanted to talk about that one because it sucks. Dave Nail used to be one of my actually favorite country artists. I used to listen to him a lot, but he left country with this Dave Nail and the Well Ravens album, and it kind of sucks that he's this kind of EDM-ish sounding artist, but his voice is still fantastic. And
yeah,
his music is good. It's just,
he has a great singing voice, and I did like that. Is it an album or an EP?
I think it's technically an EP.
Yeah,
I think it's like seven or eight songs.
Yeah, but I did enjoy it. I've said before, like, I don't really like a lot of David Nail songs that I've heard. I was clearly pointed out on Twitter that one day all of these great songs that do exist by him.
Like,
so
Half Mile Hill. And
exactly.
Shit, yeah.
So I'm not going to say that he's bad at it by any means, but there was a bunch of his stuff that I wasn't a huge fan of. But for what that new one is, I do actually like the sound of it. So it's pretty good. It's not country, but I like it. I mean, you're allowed, public service announcement, you are allowed to listen to genres that are not country.
Yeah, it's just, I don't.
Exactly, and just don't call them not country. Don't call them country if they're not.
It's like how I texted you yesterday when I was in the gym. Like, I found this workout playlist on Spotify called, like, Beast Mode. It's like, I'll try it, try and find some new music to listen. Because my playlists in the gym are still, like Metallica, Linkin Park, Eminem.
Yeah.
Like, it's the old shit I've been listening to since I was 12. Like, it's that crap. And so I was like, I'll throw on, like, what are people listening to today that's, like, this pump-up music that's really good or, really good workout music? I fucking hate it. Like, I texted you. I was like, how do people like this music? I don't get it.
It doesn't. There's a lot of it that doesn't make any sense to me. I do listen to, I would say a very small handful of modern rappers. Obviously Kendrick is a big name that people would know, and I think he's very good. But I don't listen to it that much. But I do have to say, like, in that vein of sound, it's amazing how he can do it so well, and then you can hear a modern rapper on whatever, like in a commercial or some shit, and it's just so bad. It's like, okay, it's clear that rap's having the same issue that country's having, where people are just shitty and they're getting popular, and it's like, why are you the way that you are?
I also think it was kind of like this. It wasn't like Kendrick Lamar and shit on that list. It was people I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm very out of it when it comes to rap. There are times people are like, oh, like when Eminem got in that fight with MKG or whatever. And I'm like,
MGK.
I don't know. MG, whatever. Exactly. Like,
but his name is Machine Gun Kelly. So if his name was Machine Kelly Gun, it would be really dumb.
Machine Kelly Green. I don't know these people, so I'm sure maybe some of these people on the list were popular people that I'd never heard of. Like, obviously, the playlist also had Notorious B.I.G. Give me the loot! Like, it had that kind of shit, which I did recognize that, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll add this, because I don't have any Notorious on my playlist. Now I do after that playlist, and I went through a couple and added some, but, like, I didn't know these newer people, and some of them were just, like, I couldn't understand what they were saying. Like, I guess that must be that mumble rap people talk about.
Mumble rap
is
terrible.
They all sound the same, where, like, there were seriously three songs in a row on that playlist where it would be like this, like, tss, 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 and then it'd just be like, it, it, oh, it, it, oh, Oh, I'm just like, is this how they all sing in every
song? They all
like,
do the exact same thing. Some song at some point got really popular, and then everyone's like, all right, this is what we're doing now, I guess.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah. Even though, as we said, you can listen to whatever you want, I just don't get that shit. I listen to country, rock, and that's about it, because country speaks to me, and that's how
I'm speaking of country and rock speaking, let's get into list of things about Muckduck.
Yeah. So first off is number 10, Tim McGraw's Between the River and Me. Next day I'm falling down to the riverbank. I knew one of us wouldn't walk away. I might have had a plan, but he didn't know it. Might have been scared, but I didn't show it. That's all between the river and me. With the current and the rocks, could have been risky. Might have been sober, but I brought the whiskey. That's all between the river and me. This is one of those that I've listened to for years, and I love it every time. Just the way it, like, sang into the story of just, like, the line just, it's between the river and me. It's such an awesome line. I think, have we done a Tim McGraw episode?
Yes.
Yeah, we have. And I'm guessing the song's
It was.
We probably have talked about it. But
it should be, because I do love this song.
It probably was. I don't remember. We're at that, like we said this even like 40 episodes ago. We're at the point where we don't remember if we've done episodes or not.
Well, that's the thing. We don't remember, and then I also don't remember what I put on my top 10, because, that can sound like I'm being hypocritical about my rankings on shit, but it's like, no, I mean, the way that I listen to music, I could be really into one thing over another. I don't remember how I rank things. Yeah. If I went back and looked at it, like, oh, that makes sense. I stand by it. I don't fucking know.
I mean, we've said it so many times that our top 10 one day could be a completely top 10 the next day. It's just,
I wouldn't say it'd be completely different, but there's a lot of like
David 10. Is going to always be number one. Cody James.
Exactly. Kind of 5 through 10 is what could flip around at any moment.
Yeah. Because there are so many artists that we love. Yeah. Our favorite song is probably always going to be our favorite song until obviously maybe a new album comes out with a new song. But But they flip around so much, and there's always different songs I love.
But Between the River and Me, I love it because, like you said, the Between the River and Me is such a great line about how, like, he kills this person, but the only one that's going to know, the stepdad, it's only between the river and him. And so it's just like, there might have been this, but they would never know it. And there might have been this, but they'd never know it, because that's all between the river and me. And I also do, I don't know why, but I always have a soft spot in my heart for songs about, like, a stepdad that comes in and is abusing the narrator's mom, and he's like, nope, not gonna fuck with my mom, and they kill him. Yeah. I love that shit. I don't have any, there's no one I know that is in a relationship like that, but
I am.
I love, exactly. I'm gonna kill whoever, someone in somewhere, somehow. But I love songs like this. You're going down.
I'm the stepdaddy.
Yeah, but I love songs like this, and I just think it's cool. And the song is a fucking jam too.
And it's a classic. Yeah, it's a classic McGraw song. Even though he has leaned back into country with his like most recent stuff, which makes me super happy, is that he is being a country artist again. Except for that fucking CD with him and Faith Hill. I think I sent you that one song. It was so good, but it was so not country. Yeah. But it was such a jam. I can't remember what it was called, but I loved that song.
Yeah, I didn't listen to that album. I didn't really care.
I listened to some of it, and there was some that were kind of like the My Best Friend from like way back in the day. There was stuff like that, which were just good love songs. But then, of course, there was a lot of the let's pretend that we're still like relevant type thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tim McGraw, I dig. He's one that I've always digged, even though he's a big diva on stage and shit. But
yeah.
Number 9 is the Steel Woods' Straw in the Wind. Oh, if the mouthless river could talk, here's what it would say. If you come here with good in your heart, you'll be on your way. Oh, but I'm not the one here who judged another man's sins or made strangers round here disappear like straw in the wind.
This is a great one. It's, you know, the narrator is talking about how, like, there's, you know, the town that he's in is just kind of, presumably like a bumfuck town in the middle of nowhere. But then it just talks about how, you know, the line is strangers around here disappear like straw in the wind. So it's basically people who come to town and try to fuck shit up. One way or the other, they get murdered and then no one ever sees them again. And so, like, there's a line like good. A drifter came. Oh, yeah, exactly. The greater good. Like, that's what I think about every time I listen to the song. Like, this is just the town from Hot Fuzz. But, like, yeah, like a drifter comes to town and, like, picks a fight with somebody.
Crusty jugglers.
And then, yeah, crusty jugglers. Dog muck.
A great big bushy beard.
If you've never seen Hot Fuzz, watch it. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, what the hell's wrong with you? It is such a great movie.
One of my favorite of all time. But yeah, this song, it's a great... this song also is like a jam where it slowly builds and then they just fucking go ham. I love it. And yeah, the whole idea of people who, you know, drifters and strangers who come to town and try to start shit, they just, you know, somehow mysteriously vanish.
Yeah, that's awesome. Steelwoods are awesome. They're a jam band. If you like the Whiskey Myers type sound in people, definitely check out the Steelwoods.
Yes.
I really
like them.
We'll probably do an episode on them down the road.
They just need to get some more music out there. They had a new song released, so they have a new album coming out at some point. I don't know when, but I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Number 8 is Tyler Childers' Banded Clovis.
We trudged through the snow, straight up the hillside, took a ridge for a while, then we slowly went down to an overhang, hit from the ridge line, bent over our handles, and we bit in the ground, the dark and bloody ground.
This one's great. It's like a prospecting song about how he's going out west with his friends and whatever. And
going
the thing,
to California territory,
going to California,
to get internet.
Looking for some internet. Yeah, and so the crux of it with the murder part is his friend finds a piece of Clovis, which is apparently like a rock thing. That's like
a clover.
Yeah, but it's like a game changing. Thing that he finds, like, it'd pay for all this shit, and, you know, his life has changed forever, and so his jealousy, he murders his friend and tries to take it, but then the whole song is him singing from the perspective of he is locked up, and then he's kind of talking about what happened, so he didn't get away with it.
Yeah. Tyler Childers is good. You're going to have some words to say about him next week.
Yeah.
Actually, later this week. You guys are lucky. You're going to get 2 podcasts in 1 week.
Yeah. And I'm going to talk about how if I'm pretending like I'm on Thursday right now, in the future I will be seeing him, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll talk about that next one.
Yeah. And then number 7 is this little-known artist you may have heard of him, named Johnny Cash, Cocaine Blues.
Early one morning while making the rounds, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. I went right home and I went to bed. I stuck at 11:44 beneath my head. Got up next morning and I grabbed that gun. Took a shot of cocaine and away I run. Made a good run, but I run too slow. They overtook me down in Juarez, Mexico.
So when you're doing the cocaine, you're going to want to make sure it's blue cocaine. That's what the song is about.
Oh, this is the prequel to Breaking Bad.
Exactly. No, this one's great. It's a murder ballad because the first thing that he talks about is that he wakes up in the morning, takes a shot of cocaine, and then guns his woman down. but it's just a great one where he's just he's singing about how, you know, I think he talks about his bad woman. I don't know if he says specifically what she's done to wrong him, but he takes the cocaine, kills her, goes on the run, gets caught, and then his wrapping up bit at the end is talking about is just leave that cocaine alone. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It'll ruin your life.
Yeah.
But this is an absolute classic of a song, too.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking.
This has got covered by a bunch of people. People play it live all the time, too.
Yeah, Johnny Cash is one of those people that people who don't like country music pretend that they like.
Exactly.
But back before we had any listeners on our podcast. Not that we have any listeners now. Nope. That we had I remember I made a post and it just said, if someone tells you that they don't like any country music except Johnny Cash, they don't actually listen to Johnny Cash.
Yeah, they don't do that at all.
I've gotten that so many times where
like,
people
I watched Walk the Line.
Yeah, there are so many times I get those from people where it's just like, I don't like country music. I mean, I like Johnny Cash. I'm like, that's like me saying I don't like rock, but I like the Beatles. Like, that's not true. It just wouldn't be true. Or like, I don't listen to rap, but oh, that Tupac, I love him. It's not true. If that's
yeah, or like, so yeah, just I only listen to Wu-Tang. It's like, you don't listen to Wu-Tang at all.
I'm part of Wu-Tang. Oh. It's like when he's not, he's doing his solo stuff, he's still part of Wu-Tang.
Oh, so great.
Love it. Anyway, yeah. Johnny Cash, he's goodly. Yeah. Number six, Chakoti Jinx's Fast Hand.
Never meant to be a bad man. I just had a fast hand. You're gonna be nothing in hell.
And this is one of them that we for sure talked about during the Cody Jinx episode, because I know that I included it on my top 10. I know it made it onto ours. But this is a Western style song where he's basically talking about how his life, he's like kind of on the run forever because he got challenged to a duel by someone and he won, killed him. But no one was like there to prove that it was like a duel and like that they agreed on it. So he's living on the run because he killed this kid and everyone now just thinks he's a murderer. And it's like he's like it's not my fault. I never wanted to be a bad man. I just had a fast hand. And so it's, you know, people challenging him because they heard that he's fast and then he kills him. Yeah. He's just like this tormented life of he's like, I never really wanted this. It's just the way that I am now. And Jinx is tremendous, and this song is great.
As we've said many times on this podcast before, Cody Jinx is the best name in country music right now.
Yeah, he's unreal.
So good, yeah. Number five is Marty Robbins's Big Iron.
Wasn't long before the story was relayed to Texas Red. But the outlaw didn't worry, men that tried before were dead. 20 men had tried to take him, 20 men had made a slip. 21 would be the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. The morning passed so quickly it was time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death.
Yeah, Marty Robbins, and he's one I was debating between Big Iron and El Paso because he's very famously made all these gunfighter ballads. Like, that's literally what the album's called that the songs are off of. And it's just all these songs singing about, you know, the Old West and doing gunfighter things. And so Big Iron is about this mythical dude who's got the big iron on his hip, which is just, he's got this fucking revolver that he murders people with, and everyone's afraid of him. He's got, like, notches. I can't remember if he says, like, notches on the gun or, like, on his belt or something about all the different people that he's killed. And so it's just this talk about this guy with the big iron on his hip. And it's just a total classic song. Like I said, I was between this and El Paso because, you know, everyone knows the out in the West Texas town of El Paso. Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course not. You don't like music.
I've never listened to a country. it's a country song.
Try it out,
I've been listening to it for a while, but Kevin finally got into the podcast Your Mom's House, and if you haven't listened to it, it's fucking hilarious.
It fucking kills me.
Don't know the comedian Tom Segura, you're missing out on one of the greatest comedians of all time.
It's just so funny. But yeah,
I actually didn't hear about him until that last year when they did the Sober October, I had known who Ari Burt and Joe Rogan obviously all were, but I didn't know who Tom Segura was.
I knew of him. I just never saw any of his stand-up or anything. I knew who he was. Yeah. Just like, I mean, there's a bunch of comedians like that where I've just heard of them, but I don't.
Yeah,
I haven't checked them out.
Stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Number four is Stone Fox's I Killed Robert Johnson. On a Clarksdale night, humid and hot, when your bottle and your blues are all that you got. Oh, I didn't want to do it, but he gave me no choice. I poisoned the whiskey.
So this one is this band is more of a just like a straight up rock band, but this song I wanted to include it even though it's, you know, it's definitely, this song has like a Whiskey Myers kind of vibe to it, so it sounds like a southern rock type song even though they're more of a rock band. But I really wanted to include this one because it's one of my favorite songs about murder, and Robert Johnson the person is like a folk legend guy, like a folk rock legend. And so the song about killing him, like, it's still relevant to the idea of country music and murder ballads. And so the whole deal is that Robert Johnson, the actual guy, died mysteriously. Like, it was like back in like the 30s, I think. And so no one really knows how he actually died. And so this song is, you know, the singer saying the story like, oh, but I am the one who killed Robert Johnson. And so what he does is Robert Johnson, like, hits on his wife, and so then he just poisons his alcohol, and then he dies, and so that's how he does it. But this song is an absolute jam. If anyone listens to it, just like, well, that's not country. I'm like, fuck you, it's great. Listen to it anyway.
Kevin, this is a country music podcast. Yeah. If you're not going to talk about country music.
Yeah. Well, and Stone Foxes, I saw them live in Davenport at the River Roots Fest several years ago, and they were really good. The guy that sings on this song, because they kind of have different people that will sing on different songs. The guy that sings on this one is the drummer, which is really cool because you don't usually see the drummer sing lead.
Huh, I didn't know that.
And he also got off the drums and started playing guitar later, and a different guy got on the drums. It was very interesting.
So they're one of them talented bands.
Yeah, they're one of those where like, oh, wait, you guys are actual musicians? Why?
I thought the singer was supposed to sit up there pretending to play guitar and not
just have one hanging on him, and then he just like holds a G chord but never actually strums the guitar.
And then he starts rapping and takes it off because, you know. I like Jamie Lynn Wilson had the defense for like Walk High. He's like, maybe they changed their set list.
I was like, I don't believe it. Fuck them. Yeah. Love you, Jamie, but fuck Walker Hayes.
Yeah. All right. Hold on. I forgot to write down last week's music albums that came out, so I'm looking at them.
Oh.
Number
three
is Jason Isbell's Event.
That bastard will never be. So I'm cleaning my Weatherby. I sighed in my skull. And I hope against hope. I hope against hope.
So now that we're into the top three, this one and then the next two that obviously we'll go over are for sure, like, these are the ones that I think of when if you said murder ballad, these would be the ones that immediately come to mind. This song by Jason Isbell is, like, super depressing. Like, even though, like,
oh yeah,
he has a classmate in school who's like being abused, and then he takes matters into his own hand, grabs his gun or his dad's gun or something. I can't totally tell how old the kid's supposed to be who is the narrator in this song.
Yeah,
but he grabs a gun and murders the dad or stepdad or whoever is abusing this girl. He's just like, he's not gonna touch you like that no more, and they like try to like save her. But it's such a like a depressing song that even though like in the end he fucking kills the guy who is abusing this girl, it's still like such a bleak kind of tone for the whole song. But it's just beautifully done with the sadness. It's just crazy. And like I love the subtle slide guitar that he has like throughout it. It's just so good. Jason Isbell is on another realm in a lot of times when he writes songs like this.
Yeah, this is one of those that I first heard when I first heard of him, and I was just like, holy shit, this dude is fucking phenomenal.
Like, yeah, it was like, I heard this, and I was like, I didn't even know people could make songs about this.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good.
I just love the line where he's just like, I'm more of a man than your father will ever be, or whatever.
Exactly.
It is. Like, it's...
Yeah, I'm more that bastard will never be.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's fucking Jason Isbell is quite a good songwriter.
Some would say well versed in the writing of songs.
Yeah, and if you go over to RollingStone.com, they'll say why he voted, because can't just not vote or whatever, Democrat.
Try it out.
Try it out. anyway. Number two is a little man named Coulter Walls, Kate McCannon.
So I went a courting Kate McCannon. Got me a job and I quit my rambling. And every day I'd say a quarter of my pay. I could buy a diamond ring. Lord, and one day I come home to find my darling angel's not inside. I made for the creek where she and I did meet. I found her with some other lover. Kate McCannon.
Yeah, this one, I remember when I first heard this, like, and it was like kind of when I was first getting into Coulter Walls, because I started listening to him, I'm pretty sure when that album came out, like I hadn't heard of him.
Self-titled one.
Yeah, when that came out was when I first checked him out. I was like, holy shit, this guy's great. But then when I heard this one, I'm like, this song is amazing. Like, one of my favorite songs just anyway, and then certainly one of the best murder ballads ever wrote, about how he, you know, saves up his money to try to buy the ring for his lady, and then she ends up, you know, cheating on him, and so he, you know, the big climax of the song where he says, I put three rounds into Kate McCannon. It's like, what a fucking song. And the music in it is tremendous. Seeing him live where he can do all of the acoustic stuff by himself, just him and the guitar. So like the recorded version has the kick drum, but it's just, he does all of it himself. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. That live version on YouTube is so amazing. 'Cause especially when it's just like he goes silent, like he stops playing and goes, I put three rounds in Kate McKinnon, and then it just goes right back to the guitar and the drum and the bass.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking phenomenal.
It's so good. Yeah. Yeah, and so it would be my number one Murder Ballad song if the next one that we're about to do isn't such a classic and like legendary and like the Murder Ballad song.
Yeah. Which is number one, Left-Handed Frizzles.
Wait, that's right.
Lefty Frizzell's Long Black Veil.
She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows. Nobody sees, nobody knows but me. The scaffold.
Yeah, so this song, I don't know when it was recorded. It's fucking really old. If you know anything about Lefty, he's
2012.
Yeah, very, very old. In the dark times, in the before time.
Fucking Joe Bongo. Oh, yeah, it was 1950.
Exactly. But this song, Long Black Veil, it's about, it's really interesting. It's got a lot of like twists and turns in there. And so the whole deal with the story is the narrator is hung for a murder that he didn't do. But the reason that he was hung for it was because apparently the actual killer looked a lot like him, and he couldn't provide an alibi because he was sleeping with his best friend's wife. And so he takes the secret of sleeping with his best friend's wife to the grave because the only way he could free himself is to give the alibi that, oh, no, I was with her that night. And so the long black veil is this woman, his best friend's wife, visits his grave in the middle of the night wearing a long black veil, and they're the only ones that know that he actually isn't the killer. And it's just,
yeah,
it's crazy good, and it's like kind of one of those where I'm like, I can't believe like way back then they had, you know, songs like this written. I'm just kind of imagine like the conservative fucking 1950s people like not like wouldn't be down for it, but it's really good. Like it's the, like, the murder ballad, in my opinion. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Well, that's the other thing with that people don't sometimes realize is another version of the, oh, they changed the genre. They didn't want to, because pop music, because they're changing the genre. It's because back then, a lot of country music was just, like, Christian, pretty much like gospel music in a way.
Yeah.
And that these people come out and they do, like, songs about drugs, cheating, drinking, and like living a bad outlaw life. That's what people were all of a sudden like, oh shit, country's kind of changing to that type of thing. It's not the fact that they started playing pop music or changed the genre. It's the fact that they started singing different type of things, which
yeah.
is, that's the thing, man, new country. It's all spring break anthems, because who the hell needs anything else?
Exactly. But if they did a spring break anthem where it actually was a murder ballad about a guy saying, fuck all these goddamn kids, and he just murders them on the beach, I would be all about it.
The Meg.
Exactly. If The Meg was written into a country song, or Piranha 3D, the
oh
country
my
song.
God, I forgot about that movie. So bad. Yeah, so that's our top 10-ish, 11-ish murder ballads. There are other ones that we were thinking of, like Worth Killing For by Ray Scott. I was actually,
yeah.
while we were doing the list, I was thinking like Guilty As Can Be by Cody Johnson, kind of stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention like the Dixie Chicks song, Goodbye Earl. I don't listen to the Dixie Chicks. Sorry, I'm not sexist.
Well, they
I just
talked
don't listen
bad
to them.
About George Bush.
Well, like, I don't listen to them, and it's not for any political or nonsensical reason. I just don't listen to them. I don't really
yeah,
care.
I didn't either.
But I know that Goodbye Earl is like a big famous song, and I think like when they released it, people were like, wait, what? They wrote a
yeah.
song about,
well,
killing
it,
a dude?
It was also, oh, that actually just reminded me quickly, the conservative thing back then. I remember they talked about how Loretta Lynn got like booted off of the radio because she had that The Pill song about birth control, and I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
birth control.
How
but,
dare you?
But yeah, yeah. But the I actually I don't listen to Dixie Chicks either. I just never really did.
Yeah.
And so that when Aaron Lewis had that album come out with his daughter singing "Traveling Soldier," I didn't know it was a Dixie Chicks. So.
Oh yeah, me neither. I had no clue. It sounded to me like it was a cover of someone. You know, like I was just like, I don't think this is a song that he wrote. But I had no idea until until we looked it up. I'm like, oh shit.
And that song is not on Spotify anymore, and that really bums me.
God damn it, Spotify, get your shit together.
Yeah, I really need to get that Apple Music. But yeah. That's our top good songs.
Muckduck Ballad.
So as he was talking during one of the songs, I looked up the songs that I forgot to write down that came out a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
A week and a half ago. There were four albums. One was an EP. First was Hill Stomps, Monster Receiver. I genuinely don't remember these albums anymore because it's been a while. Because it's been so long.
I know that I listened to part of that one and I think I liked it.
Yeah. I obviously liked them because they're on the list. But
yeah.
Monster Receiver, it's good. They're very attractive. Next is Andrew Hyatt's Kane EP. If I remember right, this was the one that was kind of contemporary-ish, but it was good. I think this might have been the one that had like a dobro in it still, though, and it sounded kind of country.
Yeah, I remember, and I thought it was fine.
Yeah, and but yeah, it's good. He's very attractive. Amigo the Devil, Everything is Fine. I remember that one being good. He's very attractive.
Very attractive.
And then the Dirty River Boys, Mesa, I'm guessing, Starlight. Dirty River Boys, I actually have listened to them before because I'm pretty sure they're Medicine Stone each year.
Yep.
And but we haven't gotten to see them. But yeah, they're really good, really traditional country, and they're very attractive.
Very attractive.
So yeah, those are the ones of last week-ish.
Yeah, baby. Because
since we're recording not on Sunday, but we're recording on Thursday, there will be some albums out tomorrow that we're definitely going to talk about this next week, which are a little good.
I was going to say, so transitioning into the what are we listening to, I can't think of what I was listening to before these albums that came out.
Yes. I was listening to a podcast called Someone Knows Something, where it's a dude talking about cold cases. But
Someone Knows Something somewhere, somehow.
Yeah.
That is a fact.
That's why it's called it, because the first season is about a kid that goes missing in the mountains on a fishing trip, and it's like someone knows something. Someone knows what happened to this kid. It's just you can't figure it out because he went missing. So it's actually a really cool podcast, but
attractive.
You could try it out.
Try it out.
But yeah. I think that's it for...
I think that's all we got.
This week? Hold on, I gotta scroll through. Yeah, so you can find us at CountryHodgePodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, CountryHodgePodge, on Spotify. You can find the HodgePodgecast picks, where we upload each song we talk about, if they're on Spotify, to the playlist. You can listen to them all. Most recently, obviously, I uploaded the entire Star Is Born soundtrack, because that was what we talked about last week. And it was a really good movie and a really good soundtrack.
Yeah.
And I have had the song fucking I'll Never Love Again stuck in my head ever since I saw that movie, because it's such a good fucking song.
It's tremendous.
And then you can find on a link through the website, or if you search the username Donkey Factory, we also tweet it out every Monday. You can find Kevin's Picks of the Week, where he uploads 10 songs you should be listening to, usually country, sometimes they're other genres.
Janers.
Mostly country. And then every Friday we tweet out the best albums of that week, and so you can find Friday's new music, always good music. You can find, if you ever think, oh, there's no good country out there now, well, bitch, there's usually 5 albums a week that are good.
Yeah, goddammit, try it out.
So yeah, try it out. So yeah, you can find shirts on a link through the site. Got to put up a new one since some of them get taken down every once in a while. You can find me on Instagram. That's T Public. You can search Country Hodgepodge, find that. Or God Bless American Aquarium, blah, blah, blah. Do all that shit. You can find me on Instagram at @CHP_CliffTron. Kevin on Twitter and Instagram at @CHP_Church. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It'll help us get found. It'll help other people find us so they can listen to the greatest country podcast you've never heard of.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about good old Sam Hunt, finally. So until next week, I'm Steve Hodge, as always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.
I'm alive, brother.
You're waking the neighbors. Oh, shut up. No.